It's Most Things Kenobi, an elegant podcast for a more civilized fandom.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Most Things Kenobi, a podcast about Obi-Wan Kenobi and all things Star Wars. I'm your host, Lauren.
And I'm your host, Leanne.
And this week we are finishing up our series on the actors who have portrayed Obi-Wan Kenobi with Stephen Stanton.
Yes.
He's done Obi-Wan a few times, but we are particularly talking about his performance in Rebels today, which is just one episode, but still a very important and impactful one. I mean, he's...
Very.
Before we started recording, we were just talking, and Leanne, you were saying he's done Obi-Wan in some video games and some other stuff already, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he shows up in Clone Wars as different characters all the time. Most notably...
One of my favorite characters.
Tarkin. Yes. Which, shame on me, I didn't realize it was Steven. So,
That's what's so cool about him, I think, is his voice is so changeable. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yes. Yes. And he sounds so realistically like OG Tarkin. We were talking about that in the James Arnold Taylor episode. When you're not thinking it's the actor.
Yes. Yeah.
Then they're doing it properly. And so I just go along in life thinking it's the character, which is a credit to the actor or actress themselves. So,
yeah, yes, for sure. I love Tarkin so much. And, you know, Guy, oh gosh, what's his last name? I'm totally blanking. The guy who plays him in Rogue One, I think his name is actually Guy. Guy Henry, I think is his name, maybe. Mm. Sorry if I'm wrong. Even he is so good as Tarkin, I forget that it's not Peter Cushing. And I went back and looked because I was like, is it Guy doing the voice? Because it also sounds like Stephen Stanton. And they are all doing their own version, but it's so similar. It's amazing.
I have to say, since we're talking about the Obi-Wans and Stephen Stanton rounds it out in Rebels, very important scene, like you said. He sounds more like Alec Guinness than all of the above. Yeah, I mean, not more than Alec. But I mean, all of the above that we've covered, not including Alec, which is great because at this point in the timeline, he's the closest to Alec Guinness's character's age, status, point in life, etc.
Right.
So he does an extremely good job of, again, bridging the gap between James Arnold Taylor, Ewan McGregor, the timeline, and then Alec Guinness. So it's a crucial moment captured. And a scene that people hail as one of the best.
It's so interesting to rewatch it now that we have the Kenobi series.
It really is, though, because, oh, God, and the little Luke that it is like, Luke, and she calls, and it's just like, oh, shivers, goosebumps every single time. But you're right, though, rewatching it with the Kenobi series in mind is kind of weird, but like a good weird.
Yeah, it adds so much more meaning to everything, honestly, like what Obi-Wan is saying, but also his composure in the moment.
Yeah. Because it's wild.
Here's what struck me, right? It's like Maul is his lifelong nemesis, basically.
He
started Obi-Wan's life on a whole new trajectory. And every time they come together, Obi-Wan gets so flustered.
True.
And he holds his own pretty well. And he gets better and better with each confrontation. I mean, the first confrontation, he literally cuts him in half. So I guess that started out pretty good. But then
when you set the bar that high.
Right. But what struck me about this is he is so calm. Everything about him is controlled. He's really sure of what he's about. And Maul is just not getting under his skin like he usually does.
And he's trying all the old tricks.
Yes. All of it is like Maul is still the same. And as we've always said, Obi-Wan learns and grows.
Yes.
And I really now, looking back with the Kenobi series, Obi-Wan already faced his darkest
demon. Yes, yes.
And so Maul is nothing compared to Vader and Anakin.
Right? After that, I mean, after you face the mental and physical challenge, and there was both.
Yeah.
He's literally hurling boulders, okay? After doubting himself for so long and dealing with the end of an era, if you will, and a friendship and fear, fear in himself, fear of all this, everything with the children. And it's so depressing. And he rises again from the ashes, literally. And Maul is nothing. A gnat on a cow's ass. Just swine. That's awful what I just said. But
no, but it's true. I love it, actually. Because Maul is so obsessed and wrapped up.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan has moved on already.
Yeah. He's got other shit to worry about.
Which is the best kind of revenge.
It is. It is. That is the thing, like, the best, isn't it? The best revenge is when you move on.
Yeah, a life well lived, I think, isn't that what they say?
Yes, that's it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that, I mean, not that he's living exactly, like, well in the desert being a shut-in, but he's got purpose now that trumps everything.
Right, exactly.
He's forgiven himself for Satine, for Anakin, for, you know, or at least has come to terms with enough to move on.
Yeah. And I think that at this point, we're seeing Obi-Wan kind of at his peak. And not because, I mean, like, obviously Clone Wars was so fucking badass. And the Kenobi series fighting Vader, that was so awesome. But this is a true, like, this is a grandmaster kind of mentality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's calm. He defeats Maul instantly because he's so certain of his purpose to protect Luke. And he's just in control. It's like his connection with the Force is probably the strongest it's ever been, which is crazy because he had shut himself off from it for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really cool to see.
It is. And all of this is reflected in the tone of voice that Steven delivers in this short scene, but it's required because too high pitch would be too nervous, too low pitch wouldn't be believable. You have to come in feeling like you've lived all of this, even if you haven't voiced it. You know what I mean?
Yes. So true. Oh my gosh. Yes.
But Stephen Stanton's been there in Clone Wars and has seen it. So he has some knowledge. I mean, he's been there.
He's been the one provoking Obi-Wan into annoyance.
Literally. So it's not like he doesn't have knowledge or he has to ignore certain knowledge base like James Arnold Taylor had to do, ignore knowing the end of Revenge of the Sith, that sort of thing. So he had a whole catalog to pull from and delivered extremely well.
His voice is so perfect. Like like you said, his Alec Guinness is so perfect.
Really good.
I wonder if you put them side by side, if you could tell one or the other. You probably could if you're an obsessed Star Wars fan, but I bet for some people who aren't as versed in it, you might not be able to tell the difference.
Well, especially if you're watching them out of order and not watching them back to back, it would be easy to. But I kind of want to listen to them back to back, but I also don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Totally.
But it would be interesting to do so. I should do that once.
Well, the fact that he can do both Peter Cushing and Alec Guinness perfectly is pretty pretty interesting. It's like they're both actors from the same era, and clearly Steven's voice is like in that range just perfectly, and he's got to have a really good ear because holy crap.
He's labeled as a voice match artist.
That makes sense.
Right, it makes sense, but how hard would that be? I don't know how people do that. Like, I always think of Jimmy Fallon, who can... it seems as though he can match anyone's voice. Singing, you know, just regular talking. It's so wild. Just that your vocal cords can do that. I don't know, but it's... He's also Admiral Raddus in Rogue One, which we talked about before we started.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that character.
I went back and re-listened to before this episode as well, and I was like, I can't tell. I can't... I know. You know?
I feel like playing Amon Calamari is like a voice actor's dream. Like that...
It's totally.
Like the ultimate fun kind of character to play.
They're their own, like, distinct race.
Yeah.
Like, I feel if you're going to step up to the plate and do a Mon Calamari, you have to, there's a set rule book on what you have to sound like.
You also have to sound like you're missing water.
Yes. Like you're literally like
a fish out of water.
Yes. You're somehow living, but it's notable that you're supposed to be in water. It's I don't know. Star Wars is so unique in that respect that they have these races that are so random. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I just love, they always sound like they're breathing through gills. So it's just like
yes. Yeah, they have a phlegmy problem, a phlegm problem somewhere in their throat. Yes, but it's also not gross.
Right. It's somehow endearing.
Yeah, it's very, I love it. I love it. And James Arnold Taylor is the voice of, oh God, now what's his name? It's the Mon Calamari in the ride at Disney World, The Rise of the Resistance.
Lieutenant Beck?
Yes, Beck. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So,
which he said is based on John Hurt, which I just love because I love John Hurt.
I just love that so much. That's fun. I love all these Mon Calamari.
Did you know Anna Graves plays the Mon Calamari also in one of the Clone Wars episodes?
Really?
Yeah, it's that one. It's like the beginning
where they're
of
underwater?
Season. Yeah, it's like season 3 or 4. It's like the first episodes are like, it's a 4-part arc. And
yeah.
It's
yeah, the... lightsabers work underwater.
Yeah, yeah. Kit Fisto was really shining.
He was. All of his hair. His hair, his tentacles, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that he has like, the small aside, folks, but I love that he has like gold rings or leather ties or something on his, like, he decorates them. I love that.
I love that. I also love that he's always smiling.
Yes. He gives zero fucks about anything. He's one of those guys. I love those guys because I'm not that person.
I know. I care too much.
I do too. But look at him. He's making his way through life. Smiling. Hey, Stephen Stanton is also Tarkin in The Bad Batch.
Oh, yeah. And he has to like kind of age his voice down a little bit because he was... A
little bit.
I heard an interview where he was saying when he did Tarkin in Clone Wars, he had gone back and watched Peter Cushing's early stuff because Peter Cushing came over from England and lived in Hollywood for a long time. And so he was in some old Hollywood movies and he said his voice was pitched really high. So he was trying to recreate that, but not go so high that people would be like, that's not Tarkin.
Right.
So I feel like in Bad Batch, he like, lowers down more into what we know from A New Hope.
Yes, I agree. He was born in Germany.
Really? Is he German? Mm-hmm. Is he like...
He is. German-born American.
Wow. How interesting. I never knew that.
He was born in Augsburg, Bavaria, West Germany. I hope I pronounced that properly.
That's interesting. I wonder if that's why he can like hear, you know, other... accents and recreate them because did he have American parents? Does it say?
It doesn't say.
Interesting.
German-born American. He was born there in 1961. He's a voice double for, listen to this lineup. Okay. Voice double for Tim Allen, Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, Peter Cushing, Robert Downey Jr., right?
Wow.
Roger Ebert, Jeff Goldblum.
I could see Jeff Goldblum.
I could see Jeff Goldblum. Alec Guinness, of course. Clive Owen. Bruce Willis.
Wow.
And Vincent Schiavelli.
I'm not familiar with
neither.
That name.
And I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it. But he's on theme park attractions, Disney television series. He's in video games, most notably Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront, as both Maul and Ben Kenobi, which is
funny. I would love to hear his Maul.
I know. He's also Alliance Officer Number One.
Oh, okay.
Which I love.
You know, he did a droid, too, in...
did he?
I'll not be able to remember the exact letter combination. In Rebels, he was like AD5 or AP5 or whatever it was. But that voice is based on Alan Rickman.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He said he was inspired by Alan Rickman's Hans Gruber from Die Hard. So I...
Oh, my God. Rest in peace, Alan Rickman.
I know.
You are a fucking legend.
He's one of my favorite humans that have ever lived.
You know what's wild is that Stephen Stanton voiced Legolas, the elf, in the video game Lord of the Rings, The Battle for Middle Earth, which I've never played. But I honestly have a hard time picturing him sounding like Legolas. So I might have to like search that out on YouTube or something to hear it. Because elves have a very distinct way of speaking and their voices and stuff. So
yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Is that that's the Orlando Bloom character, right?
So yeah.
He's kind of got a lighter, like, I would describe him as more like a boyish character, but.
Yeah, because elves are eternal. They live forever.
Yeah.
And they have sing-songy voices. They're supposed to be ethereal in nature.
That'd be
so
interesting to hear how.
I gotta look it up.
That. Yeah. So interesting.
Anyway, that's just a few trivia points there. It's just wild that among everything he's done all of this and is a voice double for all those individuals. Jeff Goldblum,
like,
ma'am.
I mean, awesome. I would pay money to see that. I love people's Jeff Goldblum's impressions because I love Jeff Goldblum. He's so strange, but also so fascinating.
You know, he and I share a birthday.
Oh, really?
He's the only one that shares my birthday that I give a shit about. It's like, yes, I have a crazy psycho, crazy man on my birthday. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, I love him. He's so ridiculous.
He's got like the greatest monologue in Jurassic Park.
How did this turn into Jeff Goldblum?
Well, because Stephen Stanton voiced Jeff Goldblum. Yeah.
So yes, correct.
It's connected.
6 degrees. Yes.
Unlike in our last episode where we tangented off onto Big Lebowski territory for...
It's bound to happen. Has anyone drawn or voiced him in jelly sandals yet? Question mark. Still waiting. It's bound to happen with these voice actors because they do so much, right?
And it's true. And, yeah.
But maybe we should bring it back to what has Stephen Stanton brought to the table as Obi-Wan, which we kind of already covered.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear that he's able to close the circle on bringing Obi-Wan into Alec Guinness's performance. So he, like, takes the whole story and connects the dots, basically. And he does it so well that, like I said, you can barely tell that it's not actually Alec Guinness himself doing it.
Right. And it sounds like an aged Ewan or James Arnold Taylor at the same time. The accents there, there's a hint of, like, there's knowledge of what he used to be prior to all of this, which I think, if nothing else, you have to round it out in this moment, and you have to bring what the audience already knows about this character at this moment.
Yeah, they're going to have expectations, for sure.
Yeah, and I think he does it perfectly. I have a question. Who voices the Anakin in Rebels? You know that it's not actually Anakin. It's like
the holocron or whatever.
Holocron, yeah.
It's Matt Lanter.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and James does voice Obi-Wan in Rebels, but just in the holocron video that shows like the message he basically sent out.
Which is appropriate because it was recorded at the time.
Right.
That exactly. James Arnold Taylor was... Obi-Wan was voiced by... The timeline in Star Wars is crazy. And then to keep all of these actors and actresses straight, like, in the timeline is a task of its own.
It is. There's, like, a professional employee at Lucasfilm whose job is just keeping everyone in order in the timeline.
Yes. Yes. It's, again... The meme of all the pictures and things on the wall and connecting them. That's the timeline in Star Wars. And it's getting more convoluted.
It is. Yeah. It definitely is more and more complex.
Actually, since I mentioned Anakin, we are going to do this series with the Anakin actors, are we?
Yes.
Not?
Yes. And that's going to be so awesome.
It's going to be... We haven't spoken about Hayden Christensen yet. Not in full.
I know. We hadn't talked about Ewan or Hayden really at all on this show. So it's time.
It is time. Yes.
All right, so that's it. We've wrapped up all four actors, the main actors who have played Obi-Wan Kenobi. Our question for you, which one is your favorite and why? Tell us either on social media, tell us on Spotify, drop us an email, and we might read it on next week's episode.
Speaking of next week's episode, we're starting the new series, the next series, covering the Anakin actors. And there are three of them. We're starting with Jake Lloyd, who was first Anakin in the prequels as little baby Anakin, little child Anakin, and all that he ended up becoming in older Anakin. So we'll do Jake Lloyd, followed by Hayden Christensen, followed by Matt Lanter. So join us back next week for Jake Lloyd.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Most Things Kenobi podcast. We appreciate every single one of our patrons and are grateful for your support. If you'd like to support the podcast and become a patron as well, head over to the Most Things Kenobi Patreon. As always, you can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. If you enjoy our podcast, feel free to rate us on Spotify and Apple. And if you need just one place to find all of these, head over to mostthingskenobi.com.
So until next time, my space twin, may the Force be with you.
Always.